The topic this session is chanting with quality, and I'd like to connect the previous section with this section. The previous session was seven wonders of the holy name, or seven wonders of chanting. Could you close that door and ask them to leave it closed? That's a nice conventional language or terminology. The technical terminology is nama yashaha. What does yashaha mean? Glories. I'm going to start with a little statement. Things that you value very much, you regard differently than things that you don't value as much. Common sense, reality of life. Those things that we value, we regard differently than those things that we don't so much value. In the context of the Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda section of the Vedas, we have this Purushartha. Prabhupada named a disciple Purushartha Prabhu or Das. So Purushartha classically means Dharma Artha Kama Moksha. And that means people that value Dharma do so because they value the fruit of Dharma. Artha. And they value Artha because they value Kama. Nice, Kama. And following that Dharma Artha Kama, then when they try for moksha, when you realize that was really didn't satisfy Dharma Artha Kama, moksha. And the translation of Artha commonly is taken as wealth or modern terminology, it's economic development. Artha. But that's not what artha means, and that the dictionary definition is the common use of it. It's artha means that which is of value. Like gati means goal. And the goal is having something that you value. That's artha. So for most people, it's money. Prosperity. Money. Because money gets you stuff, and stuff gets you sense gratification. So get money. And if you get it by pious activity, great. Do pious activity, because you get your money, so then you get... You're very utilitarian. But the real artha, or goal, well, Rupa Goswami's writings teach us that even if one follows the niyamas, the rules and regulations, without knowing the purpose behind them, that will destroy bhakti. Bhakti vinashyati. You may get the other kind of artha, but the bhakti kind and the fruit of bhakti is vinashyati. So, followers of Rupa Goswami that we are, we should be very careful to not get the wrong meaning and make sure we get the right meaning. When young people are considering careers, or like they graduate from school and they're looking for jobs, and where should I get a job, or someone gets a job offer to go to Timbuktu and they ask, you know, do you think I should take this job offer to go to Timbuktu? I'll make, you know, twice as much as I make now. And the question I ask is, what do you value? Economic prosperity or devotee association? If they're devotees in Timbuktu, that's fine. And if there aren't devotees, or go to a college where there aren't any devotees because I got a good scholarship. I know somebody that went to a college because they got a good scholarship and there was no devotees. And Bhakti Vinashati, their bhakti just went away somewhere. No association. Very sad. So, what is it that we, artha, what is it that we value? It's that those things that we value, we regard differently. So, two examples from scripture, following the same example or precedent that we set at our last Gita Nagari retreat. Some scriptural evidence that shows we regard things differently. Or as we regard things, as we value things, or we regard them differently. So Maharaj Ambarish is one example. He was a pure devotee. Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. That's where he began his day. And his life was an example of that. Just his mind was fixed in Krishna. So, because that's what he valued, although he had from that great position of dearness to Krishna, Krishna awarded him with opulence that surpassed heaven. And the Bhagavatam describes, Shukadeva Goswami describes, he valued it less than a pebble in the street. Supposing we walk down the stairs and we see a pebble out there outside the little stones. Oh, look at this. That's how he regarded that enormous opulence. Yet he used it to do his service to Krishna. He was the king, so he used his royal opulence to worship, for starters, worship his, he was a Krishna Bhakta, so worship his deity of Krishna. Very opulently. And he was absorbed. Prabhupada described that he was engaged in his puja and his deity worship and his devotional activity till 11 o'clock in the morning. You know, what king does that? What ambitious materialist does that? They're off to work first thing in the morning. Anyway, Sanatan Goswami in his touchstone, most of the devotees, you know the story, there's some newer people here, so briefly narrate Sanatan Goswami in the touchstone. One particular narration of this, Prabhupada spoke of the Brahmana that heard about Sanatan Goswami's touchstone was a Smarta Brahmana. And those of you from India, you know what that means. Attached to the rules and regulations of rituals. Very fastidiously attached. But although he was attached, he didn't have the prosperity that he wanted. And he heard that Sanatan Goswami had a touchstone and he was very poor. Man, the Brahmin. So he also heard that Sanatan Goswami is very liberal, very charitable. So he put two and two together and said, I'm poor, Sanatan Goswami is liberal, he has a touchstone, I'll go and ask for some charity. I'm a Brahmin, I'll ask for some charity. I'll ask him for his touchstone. So sure enough, when he approached Sanatan Goswami, who was absorbed in his devotional activity, When the Brahmana requested, may I have in charity? I'm very poor. I have a family. I don't have the means to maintain my family. We're impoverished. May I ask some charity? Your touchstone, please. Immediately, Sanatan Goswami said, yes, it's yours. You'll find it over there in the rubbish pile. And the man immediately went to the rubbish pile and searched, and sure enough, there was the touchstone.
Wow.
And so we went to his home, we wanted to check it out. Had an iron pot, and he touched the touchstone to the iron pot, and it turned to gold. So he was very happy. Making gold. Wow. Won the lottery. Some man in Michigan, blue-collar worker, just won $337 million in the lottery. Government took a third of it right away in taxes. So he was left with $227 million. But he quit his job and, you know, I'll be happy for the rest of my life. Let's see. Statistics show that people that win the lottery destroy their lives because they don't know what to do with wealth. They turn to wild things, drugs and lavish life, and just burn out. Suicide. Highest suicide rate is amongst people who win the lottery. Please don't win the lottery. Please don't. Involve yourself with those things. Anyways, it's against principles. So he was a happy man. But then he still had some trace of brahminical strength there, so the understanding came to his mind. Why was he keeping this in the rubbish pile? There must be something that he has that's more valuable. 2 + 2 = 4. And Sanatana Goswami is very liberal and he's very charitable, and maybe if I ask him for that something more valuable, he'll let me have it. It's worth a try. So we went to Sanatana Goswami and said, "Do you have something more valuable?" And he said, "Yes, I have something far more valuable." And he said, "May I have that something more valuable? Please give in charity to Brahmana." He said, "Certainly, on one condition. There's the river. Throw the touchstone into the river." He threw the touchstone in the river. And then Sanatana Goswami gave him the most valuable thing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. That which we value, we regard differently than that which we don't place so much value in. So here's Panscale. And here's the Nama Yasha, as we heard earlier, the glories of the Holy Name. So we heard 7 of them, glories of the Holy Name. It's both Sambandhagyan and also Abhideya, the actively participating in, because that's how you're going to get the realization of the glories of the Holy Name, actively participating in, consciously chanting. Conscious of the glories, then they'll become illumined or revealed to you. And over here, on the other side of the pan scale, is like the verse that Atmanivedana read from Queen Kunti's prayers. The sense of being attached to things material or detached from things material, akinchana. Those 2 verses, akinchana gochara. Akinchana, having no material shelter. You can be Maharaj Ambarish, or you can be Maharaj Yudhisthira, or you can be a Krishna conscious. You can be Ambarish Prabhu in Florida, and not be attached to that opulence, but to see it's a resource that's meant for Krishna service. And then you're careful, but you're not attached to it. Attached to it in the sense of the kripana, the miser, who doesn't know how to use things. So they just like to look at their things. Count their money. Oh, how much money? I should get some more money. One lady was describing, her husband was like that. He never gives in charity. He just counts his money, and he's always thinking how to get more money, and that's his life until the end of his life. That's how I see he's going to live his life. Although she likes bhakti, she likes going to the temple, and so he drives her to the temple, drops her off, and then goes and counts his money, whatever he does, I don't know. But it's so a devotee, whatever that resource is that they have, whether it's this or this or this or this or whatever it is, it's for Krishna's service. It's not the attachment to it, but it's wishing to do some service for Krishna, whatever Krishna gives. Like Sudama, seeing Krishna is very kind when he didn't ask me why I came to see him. I came to see him for some material benefit, some prosperity, so that my wife would stop being in anxiety that I'm so poor, although I'm very peaceful. She's not. And then he saw the big palace, and it was, Krishna's very kind. I won't get to the subject matter if I keep the theme for a devotee. There's many examples, some nice Prabhupada examples of being able to be in this situation, being able to be in that situation, being in the situation of having nothing or austerity, being in the situation of great opulence, and the mind doesn't change. That was Maharaj Ambarish's position. When the fiery demon came to him, his mind didn't move. Think about it. Some wild, death-threatening something is coming rushing at you. And your body doesn't move and your mind doesn't move. That's not ordinary. It's like, even without thinking, something. So, akinchana is where you can feelingly, so if you have no material shelters because you have shelter in Krishna, because you value the holy name, the glories, the opulences, nama yasha goes down here, your affinity for material stuff goes way up here. You don't, your akinchana factor goes way up, detached. And when your appreciation weakens for the glories of the holy name, things start filling up your mind on the material side. It just happens. You don't have to try for it. It just happens. We're in the material atmosphere. It happens. So your values, appreciating the glories of the holy name, then you regard the holy name differently, and then you have feeling for the holy name, and then you can chant with feeling. And when you chant with feeling, that's quality chanting. Maybe out of the list of 10 questions that as a traveling sannyasi I hear, one of them in that top 10 list is, there's variations on the theme, but it's, when will that day come when my chanting will be with feeling? Because, you know, sometimes it's the other way around. My chanting is just mechanical. You know, the behind that is, I don't want to just chant mechanically, I want to chant with feeling. Which is our topic. Chanting with quality is chanting with feeling. And I'll share a little story. Padahari was present. I mentioned this once before in his presence. A group of us were at a japa retreat in Ojai, going to shorten it, and Niranjana Maharaj was one of the persons attending that japa retreat. And we got on the topic of chanting with feeling, And he pulled out his computer and started reading a letter that he had recently composed to a disciple. And to the best of my memory, it was something like this. The disciple was a very, you know, strong, wonderful devotee that somehow got some illness that hospitalized them. And when they were in the hospital, they weren't able to chant their rounds. They were in the hospital for some time, and so their chanting capacity was gone. And then they had written him, "Now that I'm back, my health is restoring a bit, I'm up to 4 rounds, and soon I'll be at 8 rounds, and I'm hoping I'll quickly come to 16 rounds." So he wrote back to the devotee. He read us the letter, something like this. "Nice to hear this wonderful news. Here's my advice. Don't rush because you've taken a vow to get back to 16 rounds. Rather, chant with feeling. And if you chant with feeling, automatically the quantity of rounds will restore. But there'll be quality 16 rounds, not just mechanical 16 rounds." Then he elaborated further. I can't remember if it was in the letter or he was just explaining that chant with feeling can be any kind of feeling. Like, "I don't have any feeling." There's a feeling. Take that one. Chant. So these are things that you may find helpful. Like all of what we did this morning and what we're doing now is to load you up with or provide you with resources that when you're chanting 64 rounds tomorrow, and then when you go back to your place, you chanting your 16 rounds every day, or whatever number of rounds you chant every day, you have something that may help you. So chant with feeling will help in increasing the quality, because you value the holy name because you've understood his glories, but my consciousness is not there, so you may feel humbled. We may feel whatever it is that you feel, enthusiastic, prayerful. Take something off the shelf and a feeling and chant with feeling. Whatever that is. And it will help, because the object is the holy name, and the holy name is not different than Krishna. You chant with feeling and that will connect you in the right way. You'll get to Krishna, that is. There's something very, so now, that's connecting this morning. I already spent half an hour doing that. I only have another half an hour, so I got to move on the fast lane here. Krishna's holy name, that's our subject. What is its quality? Another quality besides these ones mentioned, it can be identified as Shabda. And what is Shabda? Shabda is spiritual sound, as opposed to, you know, just some sound that's carried by ether. Like, you know, clapping of one's hands or something, a noise. The chorus of peacocks every time we have morning class. It's like one guy goes and then the other one goes and 10 of them go and just waiting for the next sound and then another one goes. So there's sound, that material sound, but Shabda is qualitatively different. So first say some things that Shabda is more than. It's not simply information. There's information. But material sound is information. You know, your little cell phone and goes to a satellite and bounces back down over there and so, hello. So there's the quality of sound in your voice that somehow by technology it's transmitted from A to B, or you send a text message, or you something, some data. It's information technology. It's more than that. Material sound is like words or language. It's a representation of something, like chair. The sound chair, of course, that's our English language. It's a symbol, and it represents something. So shabda is more than that. It's not just a symbol. It conveys, here's what Chaitanya Charitamrita says, what it is. Shabda conveys the entire spiritual reality, even within this dark material realm. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Prabhupada writing. It's not just something that you communicate between one mouth and one ear, or one broadcaster, one receiver. That is something that's there, but it's more than that. It's the entire, it conveys the entire spiritual reality. That's really something. It can't be confined to anything within our material experience. Therefore, devotees, one of the 26 qualities of a devotee is kavi, which means poetic. Because in order to describe spiritual reality, you have to use metaphor and simile. It's like this, or like that. So within Rupa Goswami's writings, for example, it's so beautiful because there's so many poetic descriptions of the spiritual world just to help us understand what it's like. It's not like the pastime of written by Raghunath Das Goswami of Krishna stopping the gopis when they were bringing milk products to the yajna that was going to be performed at Govindakund for the benefit of Krishna. But he stopped them and he wanted to take a tax, the tax collection. So he said, he gave a description of the beauty of Radharani. For the beautiful row of teeth, you must give so many emeralds. And for your eyebrows, so many rubies, and it's so, Radharani, your beauty is so exquisite. But saying it in a very poetic way. So Krishna speaks like that, and Raghunath Das Goswami speaks like that. Dana Leela, his tax pastime. And because it's beyond our experience. Shabda Brahma is more than information, it's the spiritual reality that's beyond our material experience. And yet enters into this realm so that we can connect with the spiritual reality just by sound vibration. The whole of the Vedas is like that. And so Shabda Pramana, the means of knowing something is Pramana. Shabda Pramana is the means of knowing something that's beyond our experience. And you can't know something beyond your experience with your senses or reasoning capacity. It just won't get you there. But Shabda will get you there. So then there's a quality that must be beyond just the making of the sound with the tongue or hearing with the ear. And what's that quality? The quality is, we'll use different words, but the main thing is consciousness. What's needed is, besides, the topic is chanting with quality. Besides making the sound, we're all accustomed to doing that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. Now I have 108 of those, that's one round. So we the counting game, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, but then there's quality, where consciousness touches the sound, Krishna. So there's that's the element. So when we're chanting, there must be, you know, light has to be on, not just the machine that's making the sound, but the conscious intent. Back to the message of the opening day, for those that you've missed, Krishna has given us an invitation to enter into a more active relationship with Him, to come to this retreat. That's our invitation, and we said yes, here we are. So here's how we can continue to say yes through the course of our kirtan today and japa tomorrow, and lots of time for japa tomorrow. Where is your consciousness? To avoid, to go beyond the mechanical, extend your consciousness or pray to Krishna. Pray to Lord Nityananda. You're the deliverer of the pure holy name. And I'm so unqualified, and you're the most merciful upon even the unqualified. So please bestow your mercy. And please grant me the pure holy name. Try it. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda on the altar, and they're merciful, most merciful. Radha Damodar, most merciful, equally most merciful, superlatively most merciful. Pray to them. Please, that this inner self that we were speaking of also, please grant me this mercy that the holy name touches the soul. And in that mood of receiving, something happens. Then real chanting begins. That there's a feeling, and chanting with feeling, a transcendental feeling, like wow. And if there's even a moment of that, what to speak of a stretch of time, what to speak of coming to the stage of Anandam Buddhivardhanam Pratipadam Purnamritasvadhanam, the higher stages of chanting where it's sustained, there's nothing else going on except that. One would want to chant millions of rounds. Millions, who cares rounds? Millions of names with millions of ears and millions of tongues. This is Rupa Goswami's writing. We'll read his verse in a moment. Two things are needed, a broadcaster and a receiver for sound. Then there's the transcendental broadcaster, that's Krishna himself. And the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are non-different. So best, like Prabhupada said, as far as possible, chanting should be heard from the lips of a pure devotee. That means the prohibition is the opposite. Not such a good idea to hear chanting from the lips of persons who are mayavadis. Because although that sound vibration may seem it's the same sound, it doesn't have the same effect. Here's a little Prabhupada story. 1974, Mayapur, the Gaur Purnima festival. Prabhupada was in his room. This is after breakfast. I was in that little park next to the Lotus building. Prabhupada was up in his room. Some devotees, but not, you know, not ISKCON devotees, some Sahaja devotees came into the temple room. And they had all their instruments, and they started singing. And it was, you know, melodious kirtan. Within about 5-7 minutes, they were rolling on the ground and crying and wailing. The Prabhupada was upstairs in his room, so I saw it. He came to the railing, looked down, listened. He didn't see, but he could understand from the quality of the sound what was going on. And he said, "Stop them immediately. Get them out of the temple room. 24-hour kirtan in the temple room just to purify the place." So his big American 6 foot guys came lumbering down the stairs and, you know, showed them the gate and 24-hour care time. And then it happened again, like about a week later. Because the quality of the sound is different. Now, we don't have the receivers to know the difference of that quality. Literally, they're rolling and crying. And, you know, on the way out, they were smoking beaties, and on the way out to the gate. And the rest of the stuff that they do at other times of the day. So, just imitation of the real thing. The quality of the sound is different. So the broadcasting from the lips of a pure devotee as far as possible. And for our, when we're hearing our own kirtan or our own japa, we have to live with what we have. But our intention should be to call out. Work on strengthening that intention, sankalpa. But be connected with the pure holy name. In a mood of being a receiver, so we're broadcasting and receiving both. In the kirtan, it's call and response. So that's why we invited Bhada Hari Prabhu, so we could have the nice broadcasting of the holy name. Then we have to have our receivers on. That's from our side. And the receiver is, again, not just the mechanical part, but it's bring our consciousness to that shabda, because the entire spiritual reality is there. And we're down here in this, you know, covered place, conditional life, material consciousness. And it, unless we want it, the eradication of our sinful reactions, that happens anyways. But beyond that liberation of the entanglement of our past karma, it's beyond that, the Dharma, Artha, Kama, even beyond the moksha stage, is devotional service. Or, what to speak of, pure devotional service. But devotional service begins from the liberated platform and then continues beyond it. The fifth goal of the Vedas. Sometimes our Vaishnava Acharya is described like that. So, I'll say this in a number of different ways, but the message is extending our consciousness. That's with this word, cheta. Cheto darpana marjanam. It is the mirror of the heart. Cheta darpana, the mirror of the heart. Then another direct meaning is also consciousness. So take our consciousness, or extend our consciousness to Krishna, or receive, be an active receiver on the consciousness level, besides the, you know, the tongue and the ear. Consciousness, the consciousness of our active relationship with Krishna, although it's dormant. We know it's there, scripturally we know it's there, and something inside is the little bit of light, maybe a little flame, that an active relationship with Krishna, direct that towards the name. And with what intention? The relationship is a relationship of service and love, and then keep going. And in mature stage, it's our, as we heard, our eternal rasa. So this is how to bring our consciousness there. Be very clear, while we're here, we wish to improve the quality of our chanting. What does that mean? So, just a little review. Chanting with feeling. And even if we don't have the feeling that I want to come to that stage, take another feeling. Take a feeling. And it will bring you to that stage, because Krishna is all pure. And if we do a little maturing in Krishna consciousness, or adjusting that intention, the sankalpa through which the mercy of the holy name comes, it will take us there. It will take us to that stage. Keep going. Keep striving in that way. Here's some material examples. just for contrast's sake, supposing somebody gives you a recording, lecture recording or kirtan recording, and you don't have the software that matches what it was recorded in, it won't play. So the receiver of that sound vibration has to have the right program. Or here we are in Gita Nagari and we don't get cell reception. The device should work, but there has to be a signal, and your device has to be on. Then it will work. So these are material examples, and from the spiritual perspective, the chanting of the holy name is all pure already. But our consciousness is not. Our consciousness is, as we were discussing earlier, we have material conceptions, we're covered. And so the full potency of the holy name is not entering because our filters are up. So what do? Chanting is both the means and the end. You keep chanting and continue chanting and refine your intention while chanting. That's so two messages. Refine your intention. Keep reorienting the attention towards with the seat of the consciousness. That's the soul. Let the soul touch Krishna, so I can touch Krishna through extending my consciousness to the sound. While the mouth is going and the ear is hearing, extend my consciousness to the sound. Let that relationship awaken through that medium of shabda. And the other is, because I value what it is, from authoritative sources, I have heard. I have faith in those authoritative sources. I have heard the entire spiritual world is there. It's exactly like that. Now, the spiritual side, the chanting of Raghunath Das Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, just for starters, their writings are based upon that. They experience transcendental pastimes of Krishna within their heart. And then they describe them to us. And some of those transcendental pastimes are not what we find in Srimad Bhagavatam. But it doesn't mean they imagined them as their fictional writers and they thought of some nice, oh, this would be a nice story, and maybe that would be, and they just made it up. It's their realizations, and they're sharing their realizations with us. And that's available. The gift that they want to give is that. Here is the spiritual world. Through Shabda, here is the spiritual reality. So let's go back to the Shabda. It's the gateway into the spiritual world, even in this dark place. That requires some faith and requires some practice. Now I'm going to end with this. I'm going to read something some of you have heard before. A devotee asking Srila Prabhupada about quality chanting. And he gives it an amazing answer. So this is Nairobi, something like 1974. Devotee, when chanting our 16 rounds, we are not sure if these rounds are sincere. Prabhupada, you should be sure. Devotee, how can we be sure? Prabhupada, there are beads. Brahmananda, no, he's saying that when we chant our rounds, how can you be sure that when we chant the round, that the round is perfect, attentive, round, sincere? Prabhupada, therefore it is Shastra, you must. There is no question of understanding. Brave Brahmananda then ventured. The quality of chanting, he's asking. Like, Prabhupada, You don't understand his question. Prabhupada understood his question. He's giving the answer. How do we make the best quality? Then Prabhupada launches a long quality. You'll understand, first of all, come to the quality. Without having quality, how will you understand the quality? You follow the instruction of the spiritual master, of the Shastra, that is your duty. Quality, no quality. It is not your position to understand. He's unpacking his little sutras. When the quality comes, there's no force. You will have a taste for chanting. You will desire at that time, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? That is quality. That is quality. It is by force. Now it's by force. You'll not do it. Therefore, at least 16 rounds. But when you come to the quality, you will feel yourself, why 16? Why not 16,000? That is quality, automatically. So he's saying, no question of quality. Quality, how do we know if it's quality? Not quality. You're doing because I'm telling you to do it. By order, 16 rounds. No quality. By Shastra's mandate, you must. Just like Haridas Thakur was doing, he was not forced to do. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he requested, now you're old enough, you can reduce. Haridas refused, no. Up to the end of life, I shall go on. That is quality. You've got such tendency that you will go on chanting and nothing to do, that is quality. Now you are forced to do. Where is the question of quality? That is given a chance so that one day you may come to the quality. Now you, not that you have come to quality. Quality is different. Ata shakti, asakti, attachment. Just like Rupa Goswami says, how shall I chant with one tongue and hear with just two ears? Had it been millions of tongues and trillions of ears, then I could enjoy it. This is quality. Then he goes on and gives an example, two examples. Lord Chaitanya Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahirami. Feeling separation from Krishna, that's with very elevated feeling. Then he gives the example of the Vedic system of marriage. Long description, where young boy, young girl in Vedic culture, they're married when they're 3 and 4 years old. They don't know what that is. Oh, he's my husband, she's my wife. She stays at her home, he stays at his home. Once a year on their birthdays, she brings a cake or whatever, something nice. And he goes, oh, she's very nice, this is very tasty. She's my wife. He doesn't know what it means, just, you know, she's very nice. And then when he reaches a mature stage of having some sense of what that means, that's his wife. And so he's grown attached to her by affection. She's grown attached to him. And so in the beginning stage, it's just a procedure. There's not a feeling of we're married. But gradually, they get the connection. In this way, the love develops, and when they're 15, 16 years old, they're allowed to live together because both of them have already developed that she is my wife, he is my husband psychology. Similarly, this is fully natural. Krishna is my master. So we're practicing Krishna is my master. I'm his servant. And we have all these material conceptions that we're trying to cut through. Chindanti, Vidyanti. cut through the bramble on the bush and get to the soul connection with Krishna. So here's the writing of Rupa Goswami. It's the opening line of his Vidagdha Madhava that he read before Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar and the Assembly of Learned Personalities in Puri, and they deeply appreciated it. First Lord Chaitanya heard it, and he wanted him to recite it in front of all the others. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. So three steps. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activity of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert, stunned. When the holy name enters the courtyard of the heart and Krishna is dancing. So that's quality chanting. And we want to practice our chanting in such a way we can come to that platform. Progressively, as consciousness is purified, we can experience little more light, and that little more light is so nice. But our conditioning is so strong, we get pulled back to the other position. So continue. Just prayerfully, whether it's the hill or the valley in the course of your chanting, continue to strive like that. Call out to Krishna. This last little thing. We're very fortunate. I don't know if Dhruva is going to allow. It would be very nice if the deities can be open for the duration tomorrow. Maybe we haven't done that in the past, but especially in the morning, certainly the deities are open. Get their mercy, their hint, they're very merciful. Get their mercy, and you'll find a very powerful experience. When we had this, during the summer, the Festival of the Holy Name in Chicago, Badahari's wife came along with him. She kindly gave us her association. And there was sharing at the end. She said, I've been to many, many japa retreats in the course of time, and they're in these really wonderful places, very quiet and serene and expensive and, nice. And here I was, coming to Chicago, in a Mexican neighborhood, and, But being in front of Kishore Kishori as being in front of Radha Damodar, her expression was, it was the most amazing strength coming by being in front of the deities in the association of all the devotees. So that's a plug for staying in the temple room tomorrow and praying for their mercy, just at least receiving it. Okay, so I'll take a few minutes for some questions because I want to leave some time for our little exercise that comes after this. That's not like gymnastics, it's integration exercise. Questions? Jai Jagannath.
My question is about validating experience.
About validating experience?
Validating experience, because I'm recently experiencing in Chicago with a particular devotee who is very attached to his emotions. And
no.
The devotee has these various types of experiences which he shares with some of the devotees. And he takes validation of his experiences from various scriptures given in the devotion, other such things, which speak about devotees in a very exalted state. And he plans to be having such experiences. And I haven't been able, I don't know exactly what to do with that, because the way it goes that he is following his, in instruction that it received from various devotees very strictly, and you know, with a lot of determination. And he feels that now I have a great taste, I'm able to chant a lot, and I'm getting such experiences. And
I'll just give one short answer, because you keep going for with it, but Prabhupada said to one devotee that spoke like that, "Don't worry, just keep chanting. it will pass." They were sharing, you know, "Krishna, don't worry, just keep chanting." I mean, they were saying it like it was wonderful, and Prabhupada was saying it's like, you know, "Don't worry, you'll get over it. It's, you know, that hallucination is something that..." So, it, you know, one as that same devotee has shared that you have said, one must have the adhikar for those experiences. So, don't seek those experiences or revel in those experiences. Seek the adhikar for having one's whole life. And then that's not something cheap, but something very special. And let's say, you know, look back that way in your chronology of this life, and what's there? And it's not the evidence of a very elevated soul. And so now you're having these experiences. That's something that... Take it this way, Krishna's being very kind. And leave it at that. Krishna is very kind. From Rupa Goswami's writing, it's abhas. It's a shadow. So don't be attracted to the shadow. Be attracted to the position of serving with love, serving with humble love. Take the example of Daruka from Nectar Devotion. Go there, my dear friend. That's elevated. This devotee is very persistent, though. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yes?
We once had a devotee who woke up one morning and told us that we had a dream and he was Haridas Thakur, and that we should put him on the altar and worship him. So these things happen.
Did you hear that one? Jai Jagannath?
I heard that it's not for you.
That you can convey that. And he was convinced. And there's many such examples where one devotee, without mentioning the name, he would regularly have these dreams where Prabhupada came and spoke to him in a dream. And he was taking it, "These are instructions." Fortunately, Prabhupada was on the planet and said, "I never instructed you like that." Nor one who has such dreams should take them as instructions, even after I'm gone. So, something else? Okay. Atmanivedana, your turn. This is the integration exercise. And he's prepared. And he gets 25 minutes instead of 20. But you got to end at 2:30, at 4:30.
So this time I'll prepare you for what's going to happen, the whole thing. So y'all know. So we'll go over five different, say, levels of chanting briefly. And then we can all chant one round of japa. And then, if you don't mind, I'll suggest to focus on each one of those levels, one after the other, during the course of your chanting that one round. And then, assuming there's time left, which I'll make a conservative, I'll make sure there is, then people can, devotees can share any realization they had about how their chanting experiences. And for the some of the levels of these five levels of chanting, some of them are more elevated than others. So if you feel it's false to chant at that level, then you can chant with that, with have it, with the aspiration to be at that level one day, with that in mind. So the first level would be most regards something most fundamental to your chanting. Without this, the other levels, getting to those levels wouldn't work, which would be to chant attentively. And that means that we're not chanting in a mechanical way, meaning to get the chanting over with, or to say we did it, but we're chanting simply for the sake of chanting, because we understand the purpose of chanting. And what's helpful to do that is to listen carefully to every single word that you're chanting. If you're able to, if you can say that you're doing that, that means that's attentive chanting. Okay, so that's, that level would be attentive chanting with attention. The next one I'm going to call chanting mindfully. Slightly different definitions. Chanting mindfully. So it sounds similar to chanting attentively. So here we could say it's trying to be conscious of how you are being attentive to chanting, and conversely, how you may be inattentive to the chanting, how your mind be going other places, maybe focusing on things other than the holy name of Krishna that you're reciting. Okay, so that would be the second level. Then the third level, we can call prayerful chanting, and I think it follows nicely from chanting mindfully. Because if you're chanting mindfully and you begin to become aware of how your mind is, to some extent, it's not focusing on the holy name as you're reciting it, despite your efforts to have your mind focus on the holy name of the Lord, then you may feel the need to ask for the Lord's help to bring your mind back to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada has defined the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra as, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your loving service. So in this prayerful stage, you can be chanting. As you're chanting, you're praying to the Lord to help you bring your mind to Krishna's holy, to focus on Krishna's holy name, as that is pure devotional service. So that would be the third stage, prayerful chanting. And then the fourth chain, the fourth level, we can call chanting with a sweet feeling, which also follows naturally. So if you're chanting prayerfully, that means you have to realize how the object, the person to whom you're praying to Krishna, Krishna is a person. And once you realize Krishna's a person, then you understand Krishna, he's all attractive, he's very sweet, and you'll want to chant sweetly for Krishna's pleasure. This is a more elevated stage. And then a very elevated stage, which I have personally no realization of, is, or almost no realization of, is chanting in a longing fashion, like greed for Krishna, like lolyam. So as you are chanting, experiencing sweetness, the sweetness of the Lord and the sweetness of chanting the names of the Lord, you're continuing to be mindful of how to a large extent that Krishna and his sweetness is absent from your life, is absent in your heart. And that makes you want to be with Krishna even more, want to make the holy name everything, the essence of your life. So that, therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that the chanting should be done as a child helplessly cries out for its mother. Because when you really need Krishna, you feel that you really want Krishna because he's the most important thing in your life, and yet he's absent, and you cry out to Krishna like that. So those would be the five stages. Again, attentive, one; two, mindful; three, prayerful; four, chanting sweetly; and five, chanting in a longing fashion. So if it's all right, now we can chant together one round. And then as we're chanting, if you'd like to, I'll suggest that you focus on each of those levels, one after the other, beginning with the first. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna. So please chant attentively, hearing each name of the Hare Krishna mantra.
Hare Krishna.
focus on is only in exclusively. This sweet level of chanting.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. That might not have been exactly around Hare Krishna. So, which devotees would like to share their any realizations they had from this? About how your chanting experience was out of the ordinary, or how you'd like it to be? Ramananda Brew.
I guess, initially you were very hard and focus on each word. Means you mentioned your fragmented on each word. So it took on each word. And when you could focus on each one that meaning properly. And I was struggling with the way of him. It's mindful, mindless, and then I was playing in the play of the moment. So, I've been struggling with it. But it was good, and struggled up much as that one was really communicating and good. We had to express, but it was very good. And I also mentioned that Charlie's mind, but no one so.
Thank you, Ramananda. Isn't it, if you chant only one holy name nicely with full attention, then it makes your whole 16 rounds for the day or even for the week worthwhile. Someone else, Mataji? Another Prabhu? Okay. So then we have a last call. Yes, Mataji. What's your name, Mataji? Achyuta Mataji. Yeah, I mean, you can. It's harder to do the exercise on your own to have the discipline. But if you do, then you'll get even more out of the experience, since you want it to be feel like it's you and Krishna. But it's also helpful with everyone, because then it forces you to do the job since everyone else is kind of working on it. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Someone else? We have technically 3 minutes. Jagananda Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Firstly, thank you for sharing these levels of chanting. I just came in this afternoon, so I will have a catch up. So this will help me tomorrow. I feel my chanting 64 hours. And for me, yeah, most of the long to chant, I was just trying to be attentive, and somehow I was sort of stuck there. I could not go further. That's fine, but I feel that at this stage, for me, it's more important to hear each word. You can chant mindfully and then chant creatively. It seemed like I'm receiving the socket at whatever point, and it was not going forward.
Yeah, I mean, if we're chanting, if we have the first level down, then we'll be a very advanced devotee. So if you're aware that that's mostly where you're at, that's a good sign, really, I think. Another devotee? Because if the devotees speak, then they'll be helping each other chant tomorrow for 64 rounds when you can't talk. This is a good chance. Yes, Prabhu. What's your name, Prabhu?
Lila.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
So one thing I put in my mind when I come first time in my fourth spirit, and trying hard to be with it, and then I realized it was totally lost, you know, the mind was totally elsewhere, you know, and I need to come back to the first one and just hear and so that's a reminder for me to start, and I come back to the first one and start and hear one part and
come back. Yeah, I mean, the I think that's true probably for most of us. I think also the levels are all sort of there. You can have a bit of all the levels while you're focused more on one, while you're mostly struggling, you know, being attentive, but you can also be calling out to Krishna. So, yeah, but that's nice. Thank you, Guru. Someone else? Yes, Mataji. What's your name, Mataji? Vilasman Jari Mataji. Hare Krishna. Yeah, you can also, though, if you want to make the fifth level seem more relevant to your life, even if you don't feel like you're calling out to Krishna in ecstasy, then you can be calling out to Krishna. I think Satsang Maharaj wrote about this in his Japa Reform notebook. I read it ages ago. I think he talks about there. You can be calling out to Krishna about how you wish you were calling out to Krishna. Why am I unable to call out to Krishna? Oh Krishna, why can't I call out to you? You know. So then, in this way, it can seem more relevant to you if you like. Hare Krishna. Okay, so I think we'll stop there. Thank you all for helping me facilitate this exercise for the pleasure of you and my guru and Srila Prabhupada and Rishi Radha Damodar. Nitya Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.